Now, I want to explain something, primarily for people like Sharon Warner, people like that. That's a little milk jug. And you see, one is fallen and spilled, and the other one is comforting. So that's the gist of the message today. That doesn't mean you can go to sleep, but we're talking about spilt milk and how it happens. Any of you folks know what I'm talking about? There are messes that happen in our home. I'm so thankful to have Courtney and Noel in with us, and it's just a good time when they're able to come in from New Hampshire. And we had Thanksgiving a couple of weeks ago, and along with Thanksgiving, we celebrated my mom's 85th birthday, and she's such a spry 85-year-old, it's amazing. She went to the Ark for several hours yesterday and just amazed at the Ark. So we've been sort of in a festive mood and in a feasting mood, a big Thanksgiving feast. And of course, when guests come in, my wife's a good cook, and she goes all out and fixed elaborate meals. And we had some leftovers and another part of an elaborate meal yesterday. And I noticed after Bo Henry, my youngest grandson, was through eating, his mommy gets out the sweeper and starts sweeping beneath where he ate because it looked like somebody threw a hand grenade in the plate. There's just food everywhere. And my point is, messes happen. That's just part of family life. Messes happen in our home, and we spill milk, we spill other things. But with God's grace, here's the good news, and God's help, there is no mess made in your home that He can't help you clean up. So I want you to look at this passage of Scripture in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. And I just want to use this Scripture as a starting point. And Solomon is writing under the inspiration of God's Spirit. And here's what he says. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked. Notice the word house. But He blesses the home. Notice that word. Of the righteous. And I hope you notice the word house, the word home in the same verse. I point that out because I want you to understand there is a big difference. Someone as well said, a house does not a home make. Now, the house may be a mansion by man's standards. It may be an elegant house, but a house does not a home make. There's a big difference between a house and a home, and the Lord is the one who makes that big difference. And that's why the writer of Proverbs wrote, the Lord blesses the home of the righteous. Now, Perry Como, back in 1954, when Joe Henry and I were just 3 years old, he wrote a song I bet you've heard many, many times, especially this time of the year. There's no place like home for the holidays. You've heard it, haven't you? It's being played right now on the radio. Well, listen, God intended for there to be no place like home every day, not just the holidays. You see, the home was created by God as the very first and the most central sacred institution. Before God created government, before God even created the church, God established the home. The home is divine in its establishment. It's built by the Creator for the protection of, listen, and the development of humanity's deepest needs, physical needs, psychological needs, emotional needs, and spiritual needs. And that's why the breakdown of the home in our nation is having such a devastating effect on our society. And because of the impact the home has on our society and upon our nation, those of us who claim to follow Christ, we have to do the hard work to make over our homes and to adjust our homes to make sure that they're measuring up to God's standard found in God's Word. Now, we spend a lot of time and money in America improving our houses. But what about the home within the house? Home sweet home doesn't just happen. It requires hard work. It requires humility on a regular basis. And you know what the biggest problem in our home life is? The personnel. Our homes are inhabited by sinners. Amen? That's the truth. And our families are not perfect because we're not perfect. All of us are sinners. None of us are perfect. And if you are here today and you think you're perfect, you just ask the person sitting beside you and they'll straighten you right out. We all mess up. And our family life can be a mess, even Christians, from time to time. One writer said this, and Adam's going to show it to you, and I had it put on the bottom of your bulletin, where two or three are gathered together in one name, there will be spilt milk. It's going to happen. You know, I heard about this family who sat down to a nice Sunday meal. They got home after church, and everything was going great until all of a sudden little Johnny's milk went everywhere. Well, Dad scolded Johnny for making such a mess. I mean, he really made a big deal out of scolding him. And Mom scrambled to clean up the mess like moms do, adding her own comments about Johnny's carelessness. And they made it through the rest of the meal without incident. And then the next meal, the evening meal, rolls around. And once again, they sit down to a nice meal and everything's going great until all of a sudden iced tea goes everywhere. Johnny jumps back and said, "Not me, not me." And Dad's face turned as red as a beet as his tea was everywhere. And Mom made the comment, got to be careful when we fuss. And they all, the whole family, cleaned up the mess together. You see, spilled milk happens. And yes, sometimes it's spilt tea. Family life can be a mess at times, and that is so true even of we believers. And if you want proof of that, just read through the biblical account. Look over the shoulders of the families in the Bible. And brother, here's what you're going to find out. They were a mess. They put the dis in the dysfunctional, so many of the families in the Bible. So understand this. If your family's not perfect, you're not alone. I'm not alone. All of our families are imperfect, from the very first family in the Bible to the newest family in our congregation. Family life can be a mess at times. Spilt milk happens. So that means all of our families could use some improvement. And some of our families could use some extreme home makeover. But here's the good news. God is the premier home builder in the universe. And the Bible makes this statement, Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds a house, and he's talking about a home, really, unless the Lord builds that home, its builders labor over it in vain. But you know something else? Not only is God the premier home builder in this universe, Satan is the premier home wrecker in this universe. And you and I as church people, we need to wake up and realize Satan and his legions are attacking our homes like perhaps never before. They're chipping away at the foundation of our home, drilling holes in the wall of our home, ripping off the roof one shingle at a time. And the battle for our homes is not just a battle being fought in the earthly courtrooms. It's a spiritual battle being fought within the four walls of our homes. Therefore, we must turn to God and have him help us with this home makeover, because we can't do it alone. Unless the Lord is helping us build that home, we're laboring in vain. Now, I bet you've heard of the name Warren Buffett. He is considered by some as one of the most successful investors in the world. He was ranked as the world's wealthiest person in 2008, the third wealthiest person in 2015. Time magazine in 2012 named Buffett as the world's most influential person. One of the most. Buffett was one of only a few who acquired his wealth through investing. And so many investors look to him for investment advice. Here's my question. If you could sit down with Warren Buffett for a while and get some investment tips, would you? Because you see, Americans are so concerned about the economy, especially their economy. But here's what I want you to imagine for a moment. Not your bank account. I want you to imagine that your family is your greatest capital, greatest thing you got in this life. If you could get some investment tips on how to improve your home, how to make it a strong home, would you be interested? Well, we hold in our hands a book of investment strategies for growing strong family relationships. I mean the kind the devil can't tear apart. This Bible, God's Word in written form, contains principles. When I put these principles into practice, it helps my family to be relationally wealthy. And listen to me, more important to your family than being materially wealthy, more important than that is being relationally wealthy. Wealthy, your relationship between your husband and wife, your children, all your family members. More important than being materially wealthy, which all Americans are focused on, is your family being relationally wealthy. I think the Bible puts it this way, Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fatted ox served with hatred. Could I put it this way? Better is a dish of Brussels sprouts where love is than filet mignon where hatred is. It's good to have strong families, relationally wealthy families. What I want to do today is share with you six tips for growing strong families. Six tips for cleaning up spilt milk when it happens, and it is going to happen. Now listen to me. On the back of your bulletin, Jelaine has gone to the trouble of giving you some blanks. Do you know why? We have learned this. When you hear and write and see, it helps us stay right here and right here just a little bit longer. Now, question. Who is it that's in this auditorium today? You can't see him with your eyes, but he's here. Who is it that wouldn't want you to fill this stuff out? As you're debating whether or not I want to fool this or not, you're right, Satan. He's as real as Jesus is real. The Holy Spirit invites us, convicts us, encourages us. Get involved in the Word. Study the Word. That's why we take the time, Adam and Carl in the back, to make it as good as we can make it. We want you to learn. We don't want you to come here and punch your spiritual time clock, run out the back door, nothing changed. So husband and wife, take the time to write these things down. There's nothing that's, oh, I never heard that before. There are going to be every one of these points you've heard before. But they're so important in building a relationally wealthy family. So are you ready? Here we go. Tip number one, understand each other. Work at understanding each other. Husband, wife, children, parents. How many of you folks own a VCR? You know, we have Dish, and it's got this thing where you record some programs. Here's the deal. How many of you know how to program that thing? How many of you know how to work that thing? Well, one day after devotions, I was going through the house, and I noticed that Columbo was going to come on. I like Columbo. He's that little, remember that little detective tries to make everybody think he's dumb, and he gets that crook every single time. I like him. So I said, I'm going to record one of those shows. So I did the stuff with the buttons and all that kind of stuff, and 4 or 5 days later, I hadn't had a chance to watch it, but I noted he recorded about 10 or 11 episodes. And I said, what's going on here? And Jeannie said, you knucklehead, you have to put in there one episode. If you don't, it just keeps recording Columbo all the time, every new episode. So here's my point. There's a difference between owning something and understanding how it works. Now, husband, wife, you're married. I'm speaking to you husbands, first of all. Look at 1 Peter 3:7. You husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Do you see that's directed to us, first of all, gentlemen? Directly instructed to understand our wives. Now, I know some wives, or rather husbands, who would say, it's easier to understand quantum physics than to understand my wife. I understand that. And listen, you guys, I know some wives who would say the same thing about you. All right, about us. I'll include myself in that mess. And I know that sometimes we're hard to understand. Now, here's the thing. While this text is directly addressed to we husbands, it's not bad biblical interpretation to suggest that the same principle of understanding one another applies to other relationships. In other words, parents understanding their children, children understanding their parents, wives understanding their husbands, and vice versa. So what does it mean when the Bible says I'm to live in an understanding way? Just a couple of things I want to mention. First of all, taking the time and making the time to really get to know each other. Isn't it amazing in America how we go back past one another in life? Husbands and wives, passing, going past. But understanding her, sir, understanding him, ma'am, takes some time. To develop an understanding spirit, listen to this. I hope I can get this across. I have to make what is important to this other person as important to me as that other person is important to me. I know that sounds pretty deep. I hope I can say that again. I have to take the time to make what's important to my genie as important to me as she is to me. And that takes some investment of time. I heard of the story of a father who was not much of a sports fan, but his son developed an interest in hockey of all sports. So this one year, he took his son as many hockey games as he could. And I mean, it cost him a lot of money, cost him a lot of time, but it proved to be a strong bonding experience for this father and this son. So this father's friend asked him in the middle of the hockey season, do you like hockey that much? He said, nope, but I like my son that much. Get the point? I like my son that much. So how do I develop an understanding spirit, whether with my wife, with my child? How do I live with them in an understanding way? By taking the time and making the time to really get to know that person, what's important to that person. Second thing is, make it a point to really listen to each other. I mean, really listen. Sir, you'll be watching a UK basketball game, your wife trying to talk to you. What are you paying the most attention to? So this is hard work. Make an effort to really listen to her or listen to him. It was Yogi Berra who said, and he's noted for his famous sayings, listen to this. You can hear an awful lot by just listening. Now, isn't that deep? You can hear an awful lot by just listening. But did you know the Bible says the same thing? James chapter 1, verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Husbands, I don't know of any wife who would get irritated at you if you took the time to really listen to her. And parents, I don't know of any child that would really be repulsed at you if you would be quick to listen and took the time to really listen to her. So understand me, if I'm going to build a strong relational family, number one, I think I need to understand my wife, my children. That takes time, that takes effort, really listening to them. Tip number two, keep your promises. I'm not going to share anything deep, but something you need to be reminded of. Keep your promises. It has been said we should be generous with our praise, but cautious with our promises. Parents, we need to do everything we can to keep our promises that we make to our children. Spouses, we need to do everything we can to keep our promises that we make to our spouses. Children, you need to do everything you can to keep the promises you've made to your parents. You see, my friend, why is keeping our commitments, why is keeping our promises to each other so important? Here's the reason. Because we all tend to build our hopes on promises. We tend to build our hopes on people's promises. For example, our hope for eternal life is built on the promises of God. Look at just this one, 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. God's promises give us security. So, when a man and a woman is standing at the marriage altar and they repeat, until death do us part, that gives that woman security, that gives that man security. We're going to stick it together till death do us part. And that enables them to be all that God intended for them to be in a marital relationship. But it all depends on keeping your promises to each other. Look what the Bible says about promises in Ecclesiastes 5:4. When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. The man that makes a promise doesn't keep it's a fool in God's sight. Keep all the promises you make to him. Now look at verse 5. It's better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it. Now from this text, we can infer the same holds true to our promises and commitments that we make to each other. Keep your promises. In other words, we're to be loyal. We're to be faithful in keeping our promises and commitments. As a matter of fact, look what Proverbs 3, verse 3 and 4 say. Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Why? Verse 4. Then you'll find favor and high regard in the sight of God and man. And when we keep our commitments, it builds trust. And listen to me, folks. I've been marital counseling for a long time. There is no such thing as a healthy relationship apart from trust. That's why sexual infidelity, cheating on your spouse, ruins more homes than you can imagine, because your home is built on trust. Trust in each other. Trust is that firm foundation upon which a family and a home is built. But I want to tell you, keeping commitments can be costly. It can be costly. There are parents who I've read about who travel as part of their profession. And sometimes on occasion they will drive all night long. Think about this. You're driving all night long in order to make it to a child's school program because you promised you'd be there. And there are parents who do that. And you can be assured when the child sees their parent at their school program, not only does it make the child happy, but it instills in that child the importance of keeping your promises and keeping your commitments. Now, I wanted to show you a little clip today from Despicable Me. It's a deep spiritual movie. Despicable Me is one of my favorite movies. And in this particular movie, little Agnes is trying to get Gru. He's the foster dad, so to speak, trying to get Gru to promise that he will come to her dance recital. Remember what she wants to do? Pinky promise. Come here, Zachary. Come here. Come on. Thank you, Zachary. Pinky promise, okay? I just want them to see what that is. That means something, doesn't it? Okay, good boy. Go on by. Have you ever seen that clip? Pinky promise. Thanks, Zach, for helping me. You're a little bit bashful. Thanks for helping me. I'm simply saying, folks, are there any pinky promises you've made and you haven't kept. And if God brings one to mind, then go to that person. You apologize to that person you broke your promise to, and clean up that spilt milk. Husbands and wives, let me ask you something. When's the last time you sat down with your spouse, revisited your vows, the commitments, the promises you made to each other on the wedding day? And when we got married, we made this commitment. Next to God, girl, you're the most important thing to me in my life. Next to God, sir, your husband, you're the most important thing to me in my life. So here's the question. Does our time spent with our spouse, quality time, and does our attention given to our spouse, does our priorities reflect that? My spouse, next to God, is the most important person in my life. Because that's such a key ingredient in building a strong home. Number one, understand each other. That takes some work, takes some time. Number two, keep your promises, because if not, that's spilt milk. And number three, respect one another. And man, this is so important. Every one of them, I can't figure out which would be most important. They're all important, but respect. Remember this? R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Remember who sang that? Do you remember who sang that? Aretha Franklin. Sounded just like her. That's not just something Aretha wanted. That's not just something Aretha wanted. We all want that. All of us want some respect. In fact, it's next to impossible to have a deepening relationship with another person where there's no respect. Now, could it be the reason some of us, are not experiencing the kind of deepening relationship with God that He wants to have with us is because we're not showing Him proper respect? I mean, we attend His worship service when there's nothing better to do. We read His word when there's nothing else I'd rather do. And could it be that I don't have that deep relationship with God He wants to have with me because I'm not showing Him proper respect? And could it be the reason some of our family relationships are not really secure is because God is not respected in the home. He's not honored in the home. And the Bible in Proverbs 14:26 says this about not honoring God. Those who fear, that's another word for respect, respect the Lord are secure. He, the Lord, will be a place of refuge for their children. It's a family thing. And so the God that we serve, He deserves our respect. And sooner or later, listen to me, if you don't show Him respect in your home's going to be a mess. I can promise you that. With all of Satan's artillery aimed at your home is going to be a mess. And give the other person, your spouse, your children, respect too. You know, another way we say respect is the word honor. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Love each other with genuine affection, taking delight in honoring each other. Now, did you see that verse? We're to delight in honoring another person. It's not supposed to be a hassle. It's not supposed to be something that we dread. He says we're supposed to delight in honoring another person. And honoring your spouse or that other person in your home boosts the feeling of their value. Look what the Bible says. Look at 1 Peter 3:7. We've looked at it, but look at it again. You husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Now notice this. So that your prayers won't be hindered. Did you hear that, gentlemen? Not showing my genie honor. It's such a serious matter in the eyes of God that to fail to do so hinders my prayer life. And the people who have the most difficulty honoring others and respecting others are those people who have this inflated idea of their own self-importance. The sinfully proud people. They're not going to honor somebody else. They're too wrapped up in themselves. So the Bible says in Philippians 2:3, you be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourself. Don't look only out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Now, in this day and time when all the artillery of hell is aimed at my home, how am I going to build a strong home? Number one, I need to understand my dear wife and children. Number two, I need to keep the promises I've made to them. Number three, I need to respect every single one of them, honor every single one of them. And number four, I need to encourage in my home. Write it down. You know, perhaps the easiest way to grow a healthy relationship in your home is to offer encouragement. There was a well-known actress of the early 1900s, Celeste Holm. I don't know if you ever heard her name. Here's what she said. It's important enough. I'm going to quote her. We live by encouragement. We die without it, slowly, sadly, and angrily. Here's what God says, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. So I want to ask you a question. How do I do that in my home? Well, I'm glad you asked. Number one, we encourage one another with our smiles. So write that down. And when you're done, look up here and smile at me. We encourage one another with our smiles. You know, Job was a man who was acquainted with grief and sorrow. We studied him last week here in chapter 29 of the book that bears his name. He's recalling the days before all the tragedy came into his life. And here's what he says in Job chapter 29, verse 4. Job, he says, when the people around me were discouraged, look at this, I smiled at them. And he said, my look of approval was precious to them. Never underestimate the power of a smile. A smile not only increases your face value, and some of you need the value of your face increased, it not only increases your face value, but listen, it blesses the hearts of those you give that smile to. So one way I can encourage in my home is smile. Second way I can encourage in my home is with my words. My words. Someone has noted, and this is pretty nifty, I like this quote, man doesn't live by bread alone. He also needs buttering up, and that's the truth, doesn't it? Sometimes you need to butter up people. So you see, understand, words are powerful in that they can do enormous harm, but words are powerful in that they can do some amazing good. And so use your words and your smiles to encourage another one. And here's the third way, encourage one another by focusing on the positive. This is so important. Focusing on the positive aspects of your spouse, your children, your in-laws, your outlaws, and that kind of stuff. You know, there was a reporter once asked Andrew Carnegie, and he was a great entrepreneur of a previous generation. They asked him this, why did you hire 43 millionaires to work for you? And Carnegie replied, those men weren't millionaires when they came to work for me. And the reporter asked this, well, how did you develop these men into becoming so valuable to you that you ended up paying them so much money? And here's what Carnegie replied. Listen to it. It'll work in your home. He said, people are developed the same way gold is mined. When gold is mined, several tons of dirt must be moved to get an ounce of gold. But you don't go into the mine looking for dirt. You go in there looking for gold. So could I make a suggestion for all of us, me included? Start looking for the gold in your wife, your husband. Start looking for the gold in your child. Start looking for the gold in your parents. Quit majoring on the dirt and dig for a little gold. You know, as I look at Jesus' disciples, that was a ragtag bunch. He certainly must have seen the gold in the disciples he chose. How am I going to build a strong home today, 2016? Encourage one another. Respect one another. Keep my promises to one another. Understand one another. And then here's one that I hope you'll go along with me. Give thanks to God and to one another. Give thanks. I read this article about Thanksgiving that absolutely captivated me. This lady wrote this. Listen to her. She said, my cousin has invited us to a Thanksgiving dinner on, listen, Saturday, March the 20th, Thanksgiving dinner, Saturday, March the 20th. She wrote, she wasn't celebrating an early Thanksgiving. She was saying, all is well with my husband, his battery of tests at the hospital, all is well. She said, in our family, we sometimes have as many, listen to this, sometimes we have as many as 10 Thanksgivings in 1 year. They said they celebrate happy events where there's no formal celebration date, a job promotion, a graduation degree, a good medical report. Sometimes we celebrate with a dinner party, other times with a picnic or some outing, but always with as many members of our family as we can round up, we have a Thanksgiving meal. 10 Thanksgivings a year. Can you imagine what that would do to your waistline, what that would do to your diet? And yet, listen to me, folks, 10 Thanksgivings a year would not be enough for the Christian who understands how daily God blesses us with his benefits. Daily. Colossians 3:17, look at this. And whatever you do, folks, whether in word or deed, word or deed, word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In whatever I do, every day of every year, God expects me to be giving thanks. Now listen what the Bible says in Colossians 2:7. Here's what God says. Mike Jones ought to be overflowing with thankfulness, and that goes for you too. Ephesians 5:20, Mike Jones ought to be always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we Christians should be known as thankful, grateful people. And that should be true in every aspect of my life, but especially it should be true in my home life. Thankfulness to God, thankfulness to my family members. A few years ago, Dr. Nick Stinnett, out of the University of Nebraska, conducted a series of studies. I thought it was interesting. He was trying to discover what characteristics are common in a strong family. He and his researchers discovered six qualities. I'm not going to share all six. The first quality, the most important quality to be found in strong families, was this: showing appreciation to one another. And they concluded that families were strong where family members expressed appreciation for what each family member did and for who each family member was. Appreciation. In a similar study, another researcher looked into the effect of praise in the workplace. And for some of our wives, the home is the workplace. But this is just a workplace. And his study showed that the ratio of praise to criticism in the workplace, follow me, the ratio of praise to criticism in the workplace needed to be 4-1. That is, there should be 4 times as much praise as there is criticism before the employees felt good about their work and about the environment they worked in. Did you hear that? It tells me people need appreciation. They need to be praised. They need to have their bread buttered every now and then. They need these things. And did you hear how often? 4 times as often me expressing my thankfulness and appreciation than expressing my criticism if I want to have a healthy environment in my home and at the workplace. Now, many families don't have a clue about this. They don't understand this basic need of giving thanks to my spouse, thanks to my children, praising my children, showing appreciation to my family members. I read about this one husband who always teased his wife about the lack of interest she had in household chores. So one day, as a gag gift, he puts a refrigerator magnet on the refrigerator that says, "Martha Stewart doesn't live here." Well, the next day, he comes home, finds that same magnet holding a slip of paper that read, "Neither does Bob Vila." You know Bob Vila is the home improvement dude. Now, that little note on the refrigerator in this particular instance was meant as good-humored fun. But, there are homes where those kinds of comments ain't meant to be funny. There are homes where those kinds of comments are meant to be offensive. They're meant to hurt. They're meant to cause pain. There are homes where there's 4 times more criticism than there's thanksgiving. And I want to tell you, even in the best homes, there are harsh words. There are occasional hard feelings. I've been married to Jeannie 44 years, and it's true in my home. So why does that happen? Well, there's a number of reasons it might happen. But one of the most basic reasons there are harsh words exchanged and there are hard feelings that are stored up is there's many times a lack of thankfulness for each other and expressing, not, "I'm just thankful in my heart." No, got to go further than that. Express it. You see, in the heat of the moment, we have this tendency to forget the blessing my wife is to me, to forget the blessing my children are to me, to forget the blessing, ma'am, that even your husband is to you, that your parents are to you. We forget. And sometimes being thankful is just stopping to think about things, and it's just a matter of perspective. What's really important in my family? You know, a young college woman supposedly wrote this letter home to her mother. Listen to it. "Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm really has been broken. I broke it and my left leg when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when we had the fire. We were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze, called the fire department. The fire department was there in a few moments. I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with Paul. He has been so nice to me. I must admit, Mom, I'm pregnant. Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he gets a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine and will write more when I get the chance. Love, your daughter Susie. P.S. None of the above is true, but I did get a C in sociology and I did flunk chemistry. I just wanted you to receive this note in its proper perspective." So you understand what I'm trying to say and what she was trying to say? And sometimes thankfulness is just a proper perspective. A husband told how he received a real straightforward lesson about perspective from his wife. Listen to this story. He said he had an 11-year-old nephew named Josh, and he had just bought this really nice used Ford Taurus. And he said, "I was proud of it. It was in pristine condition, and I intended to keep it that way. And he washed it and he waxed it religiously. But then one day he said he pulled into the gas station to fill her up and to wash the windshield. His 11-year-old nephew, Josh, got out and wanted to help, pulled out a squeegee, began to wash the passenger side of the windshield. But then he pulled the metal part of the squeegee across the hood of that car, leaving an inch-long scar in the paint. His uncle and owner of the car was absolutely livid, yelling at this 11-year-old nephew for the damage he'd done, when his wife stopped him with these words: "Which is more valuable, Josh or the car?" Well, he said, "I had to think about that for a moment." But he said she was right. You see, folks, thankfulness for my family is often a matter of just stopping and chilling and getting the right perspective as to what is important or who is most important in my home. But far too often we're not thankful. Many of us are just naturally critical by nature. Amen or oh me. James knows it. You don't have to say amen. James knew it. God knows it. James 3:9 says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God." And then he says in verse 10, "Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing." My brothers, and I'll add sisters, this should not be. In other words, God knows that we have this propensity of opening our big mouth and making critical comments. So God commands us, look at Colossians 3:17. "Whatever you do, whether in word," see it, whether in word or deed, "do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So God knows that we tend to unconsciously be critical to those around us. And so he commands us to be consciously thankful for all things and for all people. And that's so important in our homes, because as that expert that we looked at quoted, in a healthy home, there needs to be four times more thanks than criticism. In a healthy home, we need to be focusing more on the gold than the dirt. So how do I develop this thankful spirit? You know, it takes work sometimes in my heart and in my home. Listen to this. This man by the name of Frank Fried had Frank Fried, that's his name, has an excellent piece of advice. Listen, and this is, I quoted this at Tractor Supply to a guy who's having some difficulties. Here's what it says. He says, "Folks, the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence, and the grass is not greener on this side of the fence. The grass is greener where you water it." You hear me? And the way for me to develop a thankful heart is to turn my heart, if I could use farmer technology, Christopher, turn my heart into a garden of thanksgiving. My heart needs to be a place where the seeds of thankfulness are planted every day and fertilized and watered, constant tending. In short, I need to practice thankfulness. I need to cultivate thankfulness in my home. And God says the best place to start cultivating this thankfulness is in his presence, with him, starting out the day with him, thanking him. Colossians 3:17, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So we need to pray to God. We need to give thanks to God. Focus on the things for which we are thankful about: my spouse, my children, my mama, whoever it may be in my family. And I'm going to do something really weird right now. We say we've come to expect it, but I mean, this is really different. I just want to stop right now, and I want us to bow our heads, and I want you to focus on the most difficult person you got in your family. The person that's causing you the most grief, the most pain. And I want you to ask God, "God, help me to be thankful. Help me to find the gold rather than always focusing on the dirt. Thank you, God, for this person. And I want you to do it today." And I mean, I want us to do it right now. I'm going to bow my head right now, and I want you to do the very same thing. Focus on that person you've been so guilty of criticizing, and thank God for that person and help him. I'm bowing my head too. And you already know who it is. God's Spirit's already reminded you of somebody you've been criticizing, mad at, been out of shape. Father, I'm amazed how that somebody like me that's been forgiven so much could hold anything against anybody. Please help me, as pastor of this church, a large family, church family, focus on the gold in my church family, not the dirt. I thank you so much for my mama, my three children, my grandbabies, my daughter-in-law, my son-in-law. Would you help me to just paint a picture of a thankful person to be the encourager in my home? Father, we know that our homes are so under attack today. So help us to apply these principles, please. In Jesus' name. Now I want to ask you a question, folks. If I were to do that on a regular basis, what would change? See, don't get your hopes up. The sermon's not over. I told you it's going to be weird. But if I did that on a regular basis, what would change? Would my spouse's behavior change? Maybe not. Would my child's behavior change? Maybe not. Would my parents' behavior, my in-law, maybe not. I don't know, but I do know this. Using criticism ain't the best way to modify anybody's behavior. One pharmacy posted this sign by the service bell. Ring once for service, ring twice for poor service, ring three times for no service at all. And it's just the truth of life. If I want somebody to respond kindly to me, I first of all have to express gratitude to the other person. You say, but what if I'm nice to the other person and he doesn't change? Oh, what if she still behaves badly and irritates me after I've made the first step in trying to be reconciled and expressing gratitude? Don't I get a pass on God's command to be thankful? And the answer is no. It doesn't matter what the results may be in those living around us. God still commands me and you be people of thanksgiving. And it's worth noting here, while my attitude of being thankful and grateful may not change other folks around me, you know who it's going to change? It's going to change me. I was sharing with a prayer group at 9 o'clock. Missionary Benjamin Weir was held hostage in Lebanon, imprisoned under miserable, deplorable conditions for 16 long months. In his first interview after his release, he was asked by the press, how did you spend your time? How did you deal with the boredom? How did you deal with the despair? And his answer absolutely stunned these reporters. He said, I dealt with the despair by counting my blessings. They said, blessings? He said, yes. Some days, I got to take a shower. Some days, there were vegetables in my soup. And he said, I could always be thankful for the love for my family. And Benjamin Weir discovered under deplorable conditions that, brother, you can be thankful. He was physically in bondage. He wasn't mentally or spiritually in bondage. And he learned to focus on God. And he learned to focus on his blessings, giving blessings to the Father in the harshest of circumstances. And here's the point I'm trying to make, folks. We need to be folks who are known for our thankfulness, especially in our homes, especially toward my wife, especially toward my children, especially toward my mama, especially toward all members of my family, partially because of the change it may bring to them, but most importantly because of the change in my own life and my heart as I express thankfulness. And I've saved the best tip to last, and here it is. Not as long, forgive one another. Forgive one another. Ask for forgiveness and offer forgiveness in your home. Anybody who lives in a family of any kind knows there are people who will disappoint you and there are people who will hurt you within your own family. A couple who've been married 54 years. Did you hear that? 54 years was asked, what's the secret to the longevity and the happy marriage? And here's one gem of wisdom they gave. Now I want you to listen to this. What's the secret to your long, happy marriage? Here's a quote. You overlook a lot of little things, and you forgive each other. As my mama would say, don't sweat the small stuff, Mike. Don't sweat the small things. You know, the best thing that ever happened to me, other than being saved, was marrying Della Janice Hill, January the 5th, 1973. And in these 44 years of marriage, I have learned and am still learning not to let an issue become the issue. You understand? The issue. When she goes to bed mad, don't let an issue become the issue. For example, my beloved of 44 years said to me this week, when Nicole and Courtney come into our house, don't blow your nose after they go to bed. Now, the inference being, you blow your nose too cotton picking loud. That's what she was saying. But now, wait a minute. This directive coming from the little woman who has the loudest sneeze in the entire universe. And I'd like for her to give an demonstration, but she's so hard-headed and so hard-hearted she wouldn't give you a demonstration of her sneeze. But I'll tell you this, sometimes I get an email from Snooky over in India, other side of the globe, and he asks, did Jeannie just sneeze because something waked up all the kids on the compound? And I said, you know, I don't know. I never heard a little woman with such a big, long sneeze. Now here's the point I'm trying to make. I could get my nose all out of joint over her sneezing, and she can get her nose all out of joint over my blowing. But we are learning not to make an issue become the issue, because here's why. We want our Lord to bless our home. We want our Lord to grace our home with His presence. And that can't happen when husbands and wives are fighting with each other. So here's what the Bible says. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Sneezing, nose blowing, whatever. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. But folks, listen to me. I'm going to tell you where you're at. Forgiveness ain't natural. Seems to be more natural to carry a grudge, to remember all the wrongs somebody did to me, to think of ways to get back even with somebody. And yet the Bible's very clear. It's an instruction. We who've been forgiven of God of everything are to forgive others. I told you a story, I think, one time about a Spanish story about a father and a son who became estranged. Son left home. Father later on set out to find him. He searched for months for his son and could not find him. Finally, in desperation, here's what Dad did. He went to the newspaper, put out this ad. Here's what it read. Dear Paco, that was the name of the son. Meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. Now, according to this story, on Saturday, 800 young men named Paco showed up for loving and forgiveness from their estranged fathers. Now, we laugh at that, but families today are filled with people who desperately long for reconciliation, waiting for somebody to make the first move. Why don't you humble yourself and make the first move? Why don't you be the one to go to that person you've been estranged with and make the first move and forgive? Jeannie and I were eating supper the other night, eating in the living room. She doesn't like to do that because we were able to get some new carpet. We'd had carpet up there for 16 years and able to get some new carpet, and she doesn't like to, but there was something important on TV, UK basketball. I don't know what it was. So we're in the living room, and she's sitting on the love seat, and I'm sitting on the couch, and when all of a sudden, I spill over half of my plate of food right in my lap, maybe 3/4. I'm serious. It wasn't hot dogs and tater chips. It's a home-cooked meal, green beans, vegetables, meat, potatoes, and gravy. My first thought, she's going to kill me. That was my very first thought. My whole life flashed before my eyes. My whole life did. I tried to remember my Marine Corps hand-to-hand combat training, but I knew I was going to be overmatched. I knew she was going to overmatch me. And so I braced for the inevitable. But you know what? The judo chop never came, and I never did even receive a word of rebuke. Here's what she did. She simply got a rag, started cleaning up the mess both in my lap and on her couch. That's what she did. Where two or three are gathered together in one name, there will be spilt milk. So let me encourage you to use these 6 investment tips for growing a relationally wealthy family. 6 biblical tips to help you clean up or at least minimize spilt milk in your home. And if you've already made a mess of your home, here's what you do. You humble yourself before God. You use these biblical principles and start cleaning up the mess today. Because if you'll take the first step, I promise you, God Himself will surely help you. And perhaps some of you today have made a mess of your individual life. You have messed it up. Some of you need to experience God's forgiveness, God's grace that Sue sang about. Listen, God's already made the first move. Send His Son into this world to clean up your mess. So if you'll humble yourself and tell God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I can't save myself, but I'm willing to trust Jesus, what He did on that cross. Here's what God will do for you. He'll forgive all of your sin. Jesus Christ, through His Spirit, will move into your heart to help you live the kind of life He can bless. Doesn't mean there's not going to be any problems, but you'll never face another problem by yourself. Jesus will be right there. Give you a new life here on this earth. One day, eternal life in heaven. It'll be yours, and God wants to give it to you. Here's the deal that blows my mind. Wants to give it to you as a gift. A gift. Something somebody gives you because they love you. And all the details are right here in this love letter written for you that we call the Bible. So whether you've made a mess in your home, and we all do from time to time, whether you've made a mess of your life, and listen to me, nobody made a bigger mess of my life than you're looking at. Jesus is the answer. That ain't preaching. That's from practical experience. Would you bow your head with me, please, for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, bless this. I ask in Jesus' name, as we watch this little video, please let it penetrate our hearts. I ask in Jesus' name. Could I have a few more moments? Would you watch this video, please? I've seen it twice. It'll bless your heart if you watch it.
It's Thanksgiving at our house, and I'm singing a tune.
I'm cooking in the kitchen. It's what I
I'm reading the paper.
It's how I disengage.
A brand new to this family. I'm not all that.
I really wish everyone would put down their phone.
Hey guys, could you put down your phones and say hi to Eric, please?
Hey guys, haven't seen you since the wedding, and I'm just really grateful to be a part of this fam.
I really like football. But not so much, people.
We stress about this day because we are dysfunctional.
The food is finally ready, but it's exactly 12 o'clock.
And there's nothing more to do, so I guess we have to talk.
So where's the gravy?
You know what? There's not gravy really? This year.
Why not?
This Thanksgiving, we thank God for family.
Soon too, but family, and that's enough. It's crazy how we sort the small stuff. We have our flaws, more than a few.
I feel at home, cause my family's got them too. Yeah, 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 yeah.